The highest song of my soul is getting ready to expose itself. You're watching Queen Sugar. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Just the two of us.
Hey. Hey,
we can make it if we
try. That was actually, you sounded pretty good. Hey guys, welcome back to Queen Sugar, episode cuatro. I think I need to work on my Spanish.
That's so fast, already episode 4.
I know, we're running through this season.
I know, oh my god.
As always, I'm your host, hey, it's Lay. You can follow me on all social platforms.
And you guys have found English Cleveland again. And you guys can always find me on Instagram at Pink English, as well as on Twitter, English Peaks.
And if you haven't gotten the clue, it's just the two of us today.
Just the two of us.
I guess you know we have like this. Oh, wow, hey. That came in really nice.
Oh, hey. It's a
come
little
on,
disco.
Dance party. This is how
and,
I felt.
And look, we have like a good vibe. Like you're 60s, I'm like a little 60s.
No, it works, and your hair's pinned up. Look, yeah. They're missing the party. I think this is the song that should have been playing when Charlie and everyone was unpacking her apartment.
Yes.
No?
Yeah.
We want to shout out our other two co-hosts, Ryan and Francelli, who are apparently having a very long 4th of July holiday. So
having a blast.
Can't wait to welcome you guys back. Let's jump right into this episode.
Yes, let's get into
it. I'm actually really feeling the groove of this song. I think I might just drive home with it playing.
It is very, very calming.
Yeah, well, the greatest thing about it is I feel like it kind of set the tone for today. Like, mm-hmm. At first I was a little bored, and I don't know if we can get the chat room up. I should have actually asked earlier because I want to know what our fans are thinking. I thought in the beginning of the episode I was a little bored, but going into it, it's like that camaraderie, that family Thanksgiving kind of vibe that I started to feel.
Yes.
And it made me really like, oh, I want a hug.
Yes, totally. There was different points throughout this episode that I kept feeling like it's so natural that's common family things. Like when you're already stressed out and already have so much on your plate, and then there's a fight that breaks out, and then there's this, and there's always something.
Yeah.
And I come from a big family like you as well, right?
Kind of.
So I'm so used to thinking like when everything is going so nice,
yeah,
it's like always something like in the middle of it that's like
no. Oh no, we got that.
We
definitely get that, and I feel like I kind of bit myself in the tongue last episode. I was telling you guys how I was, the show ended and I was smiling, mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be smiling. I kind of wanted to be like dun dun dun,
right?
And I kind of got that today. But before we get into that, someone had a prediction last week and they were like, oh, I predict, I don't know if it was someone in the chat room or mm-hmm. someone on the actual panel who was like, I predict that Hollywood is going to get very impatient without working on the rig.
I think Ryan said that.
Okay, so it was Ryan, and he like hit that head on.
I mean
it's hard though, because Hollywood is, he's such a sweet guy. He's mm-hmm. very conscious and, mm-hmm. and he's supportive, but you can definitely see him getting impatient.
Oh, definitely.
Like, he didn't know what to do.
I think he's such a, I hate this term, but I think he's such a man's man that it's kind of hard to see him at home and just wanting to just do, like, once he's done, like he was done with all his house chores, his honey to-do list,
right.
He said, and then he had nothing else to do. And then he made a comment, which I wanted to discuss. He made a comment saying that, or Aunt Vi made a comment to him saying, and you have some money coming in. Is he getting money from the explosion from the rig? Or is like that what they're depending on?
I have no idea, actually. I thought that she, well, I don't know. Is he, good
She's
point.
Like, you have money she, saved yeah, up and you that. Have you have some money coming in.
She definitely thought that in the phrase just went past my mind, because I was like, maybe he's going to get another job, or I didn't know if he was getting some kind of check, like, maybe from the rig, but I don't think so.
Hmm. Or I thought maybe with the explosion they were getting, like, a payout or something.
That would make sense. I mean, since he was there, but he was supposed to be working again anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's from that. I wonder if it has anything to do with his ex-wife or something.
So what's the follow-up on that lady? Like, what's, is she in a hospital? Is
English
she
girl,
alive?
You asking the wrong one.
I'm like, I don't know. Do you guys know in the chat room? Does anyone know? If any of you guys fans know, please let us know.
Where's Hollywood's ex-wife?
Yes. Also, Maxine from Living Single.
She's so psycho. She's always kind of been crazy in her characters. I'm not saying, like, you know, her as a person, but she's kind of been a little crazy.
Yeah.
I thought the conversation that Vi and Hollywood is having about us feeling like we need to work until we die, mm-hmm. not actually being true and kind of breaking that stigma, because she even had to say, you know, this is, you're supposed to rest, like just sit there, drink a beer and chill. And he was like, I don't really know what that is, and I don't really want to do that. That's boring to me. And they got into this discussion about how you actually want to try to find your dreams and you want to follow your dreams and you don't want to just work for the man and for the money. Mm-hmm. And when that conversation started happening in my mind, I was like, I do feel like when you're idle and you're not busy, mm-hmm. you almost feel like you're failing at life.
Yes.
But it's also very important to have self-care.
Yes.
And take that time to go on vacation or, yes. you know, just to take a break. So I thought that conversation, I feel like more people need to have it, because we're so, how should I say it? Like, we're so almost like brainwashed in a sense, or not brainwashed.
We just get wrapped up, I think, in consuming, I think, mm-hmm. and we're always buying things online. We're always wanting things. So we always work.
Yeah.
And we don't think about, like, you know, the bigger picture, like we need to relax. We need to go on vacation in order to reprogram, to, you know, decompress, to be able to come back to work, to be able to pour back into your job.
Right.
And so I think a lot of times we like you said, we don't rest. We don't take any time off. But I think with Hollywood's situation, I think that he's so used to working so hard, and Aunt Vi has been caught up kind of like people the old school way, like get caught up in the corporate lifestyle and only working corporate and working there for such a long time.
Yeah.
And nowadays she's dating a younger man. He travels for his job. He hops around different cities, different rigs. He's doing different things. And so he hasn't had time to really relax, but she's kind of like seeing both, like working for someone and then having the time to make her pies. Mm-hmm. But what I really, really, really thought that was awesome, watching them two together in the bed and having the conversation about goals and building a future, is that Aunt Vi is much older than Hollywood.
Right.
And I think that it's wonderful to see a man want to elevate with his partner and want to say to her, you know what, we still have so much in us.
Yeah.
And we can do this together. It wasn't like me. These are my dreams and my aspirations, and I'm going to get there without you, or however I want to get there. It was like he was really genuine. How did you feel?
No, I was really excited that he called her out, because she was telling him, oh, you need to relax. You need to, you know, just rest until something else comes. And he was like, well, you don't look happy when you're at work either. So what are your dreams? Like, when he shot back at her, I was like, ooh, that was good. Mm-hmm. What are your dreams? What do you like to do, Bye?
Yeah. And especially when you get older, I think, like I was saying earlier, you get used to like just the everyday lifestyle, that you don't think like, oh, I don't have any. What are dreams at this point? I'm old. You know, I'm just working and I just want to make my pies for fun. But no, like everyone loves her pies. She has dreams. She has a young man that's behind her, going to keep the fire alive. She has a great sex life. She has a great, like, they are family. On fire. Like, oh, they are on fire. They need an ice bucket next to them.
They can't even, like, they can't be anywhere without kind of throwing a jab at their sex life.
Oh, yeah, they love it. They're obsessed with each other.
I mean, good for them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, life is good.
Yeah.
So why not elevate in a better way and go for your dreams? And especially if you have a man that has money, so you're not complaining, like, he can't take care of the bills. Mm-hmm. He's doing stuff around the house and is wanting more activity to do around the house, wants to keep a job, wants to be with you, is laying it down right. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Well, you bring up a good point. You're saying that you should go after your dreams and you should elevate, right? Do you think that Aunt Vi should have gave that same advice to Ralph Angel when he showed her the letter? Because his dream ultimately is to have his own home and to own a farm and really not deal with his sisters.
I think that there's a time and a place for everything. And yes, I think she definitely wants him to elevate. She's an elder. Mm-hmm. And what elder wouldn't want to see a young person elevate in their life? But I also do believe that it's not the right time for him to show it to her. And I think there's a lot of pressure with getting the mill up and getting things off the ground and getting actually people on board with having their sugarcane sold, you know, through the mill and mm-hmm. things like that. So I think that it's just not the right time.
Well, it's only interesting, and I'm gonna pull up the chat on my phone because it feels really awkward not talking to you guys. I don't know, it feels awkward, but I'm very curious to know because when we got the whole, you know, like at the point that he showed her, you can tell that he was very fed up. Mm-hmm. Like he was so over Charlie, he was so over everything that was happening with the white flies, which I learned about because I had no idea what that was.
Right.
And you can tell that it was coming from a bitter place. And she said a line that kind of struck me. She was like, let your mouth and your pride write the check, but you better be ready to cash it.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh.
Yeah. I think it's not the right time. Like, they're already going under, like, what would be the benefit to tell her right now? They're having some problems with the crops anyway.
Right.
I don't think that it's beneficiary to them trying to stay in a common ground as a family right mm-hmm. now and to help each other out and, you know, just to be together. I just don't think that it's the right time. So, I don't know. I think that there time will present itself. Yeah. And I think it should be once Charlie is in a better state of, like, in her home and established and with the mill going off. So, she has something. He has something. Nova's back, you know, with the writing in the newspaper and her new boss. Like, everyone has something.
But my thing is it ever going to be a right time? And I know that we've been talking about this for the last four episodes, guys, and especially when it comes to Charlie and Ralph Angel in particular. Mm-hmm. Like, they're always hot and cold. Like, one minute it's going great and the next minute it's not. That moment when Ralph Angel had Micah pinned up on the wall and Micah's, what is it called? His reaction? What is the thing called? His reflexes pushed Blue to the ground, like my right. heart started beating and I got upset a little bit because I was like, dang, they were just getting along, they were handling business, they were communicating with each other, there was nothing that was happening in either of their lives that they weren't sharing with each other at that moment. Mm-hmm. And out of nowhere it exploded. Mm-hmm. and I just feel like even if Ralph Angel were to share the letter in a perfect setting, it's not going to stay like that for long. Even if everybody's at peace and it's like, oh yeah, Ralph Angel, we kind of already knew. Like, whatever the case may be, I just don't think that there would ever be a right time. And I know that that's part of the storyline, but it kind of made me upset that they weren't able to see eye to eye in that situation. And I know that it was because their kids were involved, and I know people mm-hmm. get very sensitive about their kids, mm-hmm. which is fair. But they're also grown and they're adults and they should be able to see it from both sides.
But there's so much pride. Oh my gosh. Like just the day before yesterday, me and my brother, I'm 29, he's 25. Mm-hmm. We got into it and it's like almost like we're kids again. I think it's just like when you have family, there's so much pride that you, even no matter how old you are, you're going to have those kind of disagreements and arguments that brings you back to both being very childish.
I mean, yes, childish, but the way, okay, y'all know that I love Kofi, because I don't know how to call him Ralph Angel, but the way that he carried on yeah. for the first time ever, like, I was almost like, who are you? Like, when he was like, he's so funny, when he was like, you can leave the hard work to us field Negroes, I was like, if somebody don't smack him, he was being very disrespectful, and I understand that he was mad, and I understand that, you know, he's ready for his sister to get out of his space, and he's still carrying the weight of what happened with his son, but I felt like he went, I don't know, maybe I was being sensitive, mm-hmm. but I'm dark-skinned too, so I can relate to him in that whole kind of light-skinned, dark-skinned battle, if that's even a battle. Let us know in the chat room if that's a thing, but I feel like I'm always, you know, on Ralph's Angel's right. side, but for him to be throwing those jabs, it was almost like, okay, where is this coming from right now and why?
Well, I think now at this point, because he has this letter, mm-hmm. he knows that this is like a secret weapon, just like he mentioned to Aunt Vi. Like, he wants to tell Charlie about this. It's like a ticking time bomb, almost. Like, he's ready and ready and ready. And so there's so much emotion that he's pouring out that he's not giving her everything, but he's giving her everything behind the scenes that he really wants to give her.
What you mean?
Like, I feel like he really wants to tell her about this letter, uh-huh. but he's letting every other emotion come out. He's letting it come out in other ways. Like, oh, okay, yeah. Well, because she treats everyone a certain way.
Yeah.
And she holds herself in a certain air that makes people feel like she kind of thinks she's better than people.
She does.
Yes. And so, for example, like the sugar cane, she's like asking, what do we do? And da-da-da-da-da. And it's like money can fix anything. Money can fix anything.
Well, no, because in that air, in that situation, I think we both agreed on it. Ralph Angel wanted to use his money. He said, I just had a check. And she was like, no, use that check for your soybeans and what you want to do. I don't want you using your money on this. Even though that's what he's supposed to do because it's his farm.
Right.
I feel like her throwing money in this situation. So I kind of agree. Mm-hmm. She usually always throws her money mm-hmm. at people and at things. But for this particular episode,
right.
I feel like she was growing up. Like, she was finally being
more... No, of course. And that's what I was saying. I think she typically, normally, just throws money at everything. Just like the white flies thing. She was able to lend a helping hand again in a financial...
and not mess up her
manicure. But I think now at this point, it's almost like... Everyone kind of like teases her.
Yeah.
And then with Ralph Angel having this letter, it's a ticking time bomb. He knows he has something over her head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that at this point, it's aggravating. Like you said, he doesn't know when the right time. And because he knows he has ownership of the land and she doesn't know that, it's almost like a kid, like, it's mine. Like, yeah, no,
no. But he got so humbled this episode. And I remember when we saw the preview last week, we were a little nervous because we didn't know what was happening or why it was happening. But this episode in particular, he got humbled. And I was very happy to see his sister step up in a way that wasn't like, oh my gosh, what did you do? She was almost like, I'm going to have your back no matter if you mess up or if you don't mess up. And that's when the whole police came in with the gun and, you know, they basically wanted to tell him he violated parole.
Right.
And in that moment, although he was calling her a bougie B-I-T-C-H and, you know, a little light-skinned house girl, she used her authority or her maintenance, her whatever, her being married to Davis or him, you know, whatever the case may be with them two. But she used that to her advantage. The same thing that he bullies her for, almost the same reason that she's from LA and she lives in California, that kind of helped him not violate his parole.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you needed that to happen because you need to be reminded that although, yes, Charlie needs to be humbled and she thinks that she's better, she's kind of ignorant in a certain way, that kind of rich people ignorant a mm-hmm. little bit. But it's not all bad.
Right.
Like, because in moments where it can help you, yeah, you have nothing to say but thanks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, because you know that it has this, some type of good side, at least to keep you out of trouble, mm-hmm. then don't be such a douche.
I know. But they both are douches at certain points.
They are.
They both are. But it's pride. Like I said in the beginning, I think it's really their pride that doesn't allow them to really connect as family and as adults.
Mm-hmm.
And so they always revert back to being children and they revert back to what they know best. And they both keep secrets away from each other. Charlie kept the mill away from Ralph Angel. Ralph Angel's keeping that he actually owns the land. So they've actually really kept big significant parts, but they'll need each other at the end.
They always need each other, though. Yeah. That's what's so ridiculous.
Silly.
Like, no matter what, even if he pulls out the letter and he's like, this is all mine, I don't want y'all help, you're still going to need your sister's help because you can't do it by yourself.
Right.
You might want to, and you might be in charge, but you can't do it by yourself. And even speaking of that pride, we got into I love when this pair, hey guys, I can see your comments. I'm excited now. I like when this pair in particular argues. So when Remy and Charlie go at it, I love it because Charlie's always humbled.
Yeah.
Because what can you really say to Remy? Like, he's pretty level-headed.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to know, are you team Remy or team Charlie when it came to the argument at the table of getting a home that you're used to but you don't need
mm-hmm.
and then being somewhere closer? Because he basically said that you can't reach the people or love the people or leave the people if you don't love them.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you can't say that you live 50,000 miles away with the people that I don't like. You can't say that you live next door to them but then try to relate to people on the other side.
Right.
So I kind of wanted to know, like, what was your perspective with that argument?
And you know, it's funny because again, they're bringing up such a prominent topic in the Black community again.
Right.
With having some kind of, you know, finance or some kind of value to your name, or not even your name, just in your bank account, really. Mm-hmm. does it determine where you should live? And as a Black person, if you, because we're so suppressed, if you finally make it, is it bad for you to move into a Black community, or is it, or all white community, or should you only stay in the Black community to pour back into your community?
Right.
I think you should do whatever the hell you want to do, because no one is going to tell you where you should live. And yes, I think in Charlie's circumstance, she is trying to make change, and she needs those farmers just like they need her. And so I think that she should stay within the Black community and to pour back and to show the Boudreaux, like, this is our land. This is where our family was. This is where my dad is. Dad's land is. Like, this is where we own land.
I love them in the comments saying that they're Team Remy, Miss Chris Brown, and Bree. And that's only interesting to me is because I feel like as a Black community, or you know what, not even as just a Black community, as anyone who doesn't live in like the Beverly Hills of their city, mm-hmm. everyone has this almost dream of moving out of their neighborhood and moving into a more respected, higher class neighborhood. They want the mansion kind of house sometimes. They want the picket fence. They want that kind of American dream. You know what I right. mean? And I think that Charlie is still chasing that, even though that's not her life anymore. Like, I feel like she got accustomed to that life because of Davis, mm-hmm. not realizing, like, you know, you are Louisiana, though. Mm-hmm. Like, and we saw Nova to her that some of her hood chick came out this episode. And I love that. And I think that we're, like you said, it's a conflict between our community. It's something that we always face because I want to move away and I want to move into a safer neighborhood, but I don't want the people back home, or I don't want my family to look at me and think that I'm turning my cheek, or I think that I'm too good, or I'm upper class. It has nothing to do with either of that. It's almost like, you know, you grow up in certain conditions and you grow up in certain neighborhoods and you grow up in certain sceneries, and you're like, I don't want to expose my kids to that.
Right.
But then I don't think that we realize sometimes the disservice that it does to our children. Because mm-hmm. then when they grow up without people who look like them around them and things, you know, they become a little disadvantaged, like Micah a little right. bit when it comes to him getting this reality check. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a little 50-50. Ms. Chris Brown says, why is white wealth the model to Black success? And that was a question that they talked about in the episode too.
Well, it's not, I don't think that it's the model to white or Black success. I think that, like, I mean, unfortunately, we don't have an example. We have been suppressed.
Yeah.
So any Black community that's thriving, that's great for a Black community, for our Black community. Mm-hmm. I think that that's great. But unfortunately, the white people had an advantage more than we did. And so they have Beverly Hills. So unfortunately, that's always been our model of success. That's because they've always had it.
Yeah.
Now times have progressed where we see that there are Black people on white people's level and equivalent. So it's try to get up there, boo-boo, if you want to be there. If not, then stay in the community that you want to stay in. That's what I'm saying. It's your choice. I don't think it's a thing that people should strive after. If you want to live in this community, live in that community.
You know,
if you don't, then you don't.
And I agree with you. However, I think that it's so interesting, like the question posed, even though you have that preference and you make that choice, it's almost like no matter what choice you make, you're not going to be respected unless you're in that Beverly Hills kind of home or if you're in that community. Because it's almost like, how did you manage to get yourself into this elite group? And it sucks that they're looked at as elite.
But why does every Black person with some kind of social, or I'm saying financial gain, mm-hmm. you have to get yourself into this elite crowd?
You don't have to, and you shouldn't have to. It's right. just a stupid way that we think.
Right.
It sucks.
Right, it sucks. But I mean, quite naturally, Black people, we are programmed to think white success is the top of the tier, because that's what we've seen. But once you get up there, you can see that it doesn't have to be just white success. I think it could also be Black success.
Shanita in the comments says, Team Remy, we need to buy back the block. And literally when I read that, I don't know if any of you heard Jay-Z's album 444, and it made me think of that because he kind of talks about your mother paying rent in a certain neighborhood, and what you need to do is just buy that neighborhood back with the, right. whatever dirty money you made, if you make dirty money. Not saying that we make dirty money. But, you know, he was talking about investing back into your own neighborhoods and investing back into your own businesses. And that's been a conversation going on forever. He's not the first person to say it. It's just on a larger platform where more people can kind of get it. And I think that, Shanita, that's exactly what we need to do. So I'm happy that Remy kind of checked Charlie in that way and was like, if you want to use these people to invest into your meal and to build a relationship with them and to have the loyalty that they had to your father, then you need to be of the people. You don't need to separate yourself. You don't need to try to prove to anybody that because of your house is not, like, you're about to move into a home with a theater. And I mean, it's all nice and crap, but it's just you and Micah. You don't need that many bedrooms and that many bathrooms. You don't.
Right.
It's a waste of money, especially when you're cringing for money to invest into your mill and your farm.
Right.
So definitely, I think that for that conversation, I was definitely team Rumi. I mean, and then if you save money, then you can, you know, get you a jet and go to some kind of private island or something. I don't know. Whatever you want to do in that case. Some people in the chat room are bringing up pretty interesting comments about Nova and Charlie. And I know we touched on Ralph Angel having the letter, but Christopher says, I wonder how they feel, Charlie and Nova, knowing that their father left them nothing. And I'm pretty sure that we're going to get down to that farther down the line, especially Charlie, though, because she doesn't have their mom. Mm-hmm. So she only shares a dad with them. So knowing that dad didn't leave me anything, why? It's almost like being, when you're that responsible kid, it's not that you're loved any less. It's almost like, you got it. I don't have to worry about you. Let me go worry about this person. But that's hurtful.
Oh, yeah.
Because
oh,
I'm totally. That kid.
I'm that kid,
yeah,
too.
And it's hurtful.
Oh, yeah. It's totally hurtful. But I think, too, it's also when she's built to last. Charlie's built to last. Ralph Angel is built to last. And so is Nova. But everyone is, they're all different. And yeah. I think that Ralph Angel was actually the only person that stayed along and really paid his dues into the land and to helping his dad, to really showing and his dad, he gave it to who he felt comfortable. Mm-hmm. This was his baby. He really took care of it. He almost lost it. Like, we saw that in season one. Like, we saw so much stuff, a little bit of the past of his dad in the land. And so I just think that he really showed himself approved, and he really did show himself that he could take care of the land. Charlie wasn't around. She doesn't know about the land. And it's not about a value. I think it's about who's going to really take care of it more.
Yeah. And I can definitely see that, because had Ernest not died and they not thought that he equally left it to each of them, I don't think that they would have been working this hard. Because in the beginning, they kind of just wanted to sell it. And Ralph right. Angel fought for it.
Right.
And being that we're back on Ralph Angel just a little bit, he brought up a very interesting point this episode. When he was going through the whole thing with Micah, and, you know, the incident that they had, he brought up a point about how he's been through a lot of stuff and how when you are in jail or when you're in prison, you know, they want you to behave like animals, but when you get out, you're human. Mm-hmm. And I thought that the writers did such a good job showing how he kind of integrated back into society, because we don't always have those stories.
Right.
We have some people who've been locked up and they don't know how to break out of their crime patterns.
Right.
And yeah, it's a choice, and yeah, you're making these conscious decisions, but to hear Ralph Angel as a character grow to that level where it's like, okay, yeah, I was in jail for 4 years, but it's not who I am.
Right.
And kind of distinguish himself and want to be a better man. That was a moment that I felt like deserved to just get an applause. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Absolutely. It was totally a beautiful moment. And I think it was really relevant just to see, coming from what we saw Micah just go through
yeah.
with the police and the rest, and who better not tell him than Ralph Angel,
right?
You know, who better tell him than someone who's experienced this and who's gone down this road. And I feel like especially right after the whole situation with Blue, and you know, it's like kind of a little bit of a family love bonding again.
Mm-hmm.
And they both need that for each other. Micah needs an older adult, a man who's been through what he's gone through, to talk to him, to give him a little bit of advice. And I think Ralph Angel needs someone that's looking up to him, that someone that's gonna ask him questions, someone that he can, that can be accountable, that he can be accountable to.
Yeah.
And that someone that's looking up to him like a bigger brother or an uncle.
Why do you think that Micah relates more to Nova and Ralph Angel opposed to anyone else?
I think because they're part of his society. They're more a part of, I don't even want to say like they're millennials, because I don't think that. I just think that they get it. They're out in the streets. You know, I feel like Nova is out. She's with these young kids. She understands the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
She's very invested. I know Ralph Angel's young, and he's, you know, a young African-American man who also knows the struggle, like Micah should know.
Right.
And so I think that he relates to both of them.
Yeah. I loved how Nova kind of got humbled. Everybody just got humbled, in my opinion, this episode a little bit. Because we see her in a battle. We know that Nova is for the people, right? She wants to fight for the people. She wants them to have justice. She wants to get out as many brothers and sisters as she can from the jail system. And she's confronted with this point of getting a new editor and having this new boss who may not approve of the stories that she's been writing. And when she was having a conversation, and I didn't get to catch her name, so maybe one of you in the chat room caught it, when she was having a conversation with the other woman, and the other woman was basically saying, no one wants to talk to you because now, you know, you're no longer fighting for what you were fighting for because you're trying to please your boss.
Right.
And I was like, well, damn, that must hurt, because we know how on fire Nova is. Like, we know that she has that fire in her, and we know that she'll snap in a quick second. Mm-hmm. But to see her kind of swallow that and was like, thank you for your time, mm-hmm. it made me hurt a little bit, because I feel like it's like those pieces of you that keep getting chipped off, and you almost feel like, you feel a little hopeless. Like, if she does quit her job, she isn't going to have a paycheck. She isn't going to have a platform. Then who's going to listen?
Yeah, but, you know, I feel like when you're one of the people that is an activist and you're out in the community and you are daring and you're not afraid of anything and you've already stood a ground and made a platform, there's no turning back now, boo-boo.
Yeah.
So now everyone is looking at you to be a voice and a reason for the community. And now when you want to, you know, turn your back just a little bit because you don't want to lose your paycheck, or you don't want to lose, you know, your stability, I think that, you know, people aren't respecting that. Mm-hmm. Because you've always stood at the forefront of anything, of, you know, people that are rioting or any kind of, you know, protests or anything like that. She's always on the front line.
Yeah.
So now it's like, oh, when it has to interfere with your lifestyle and your paycheck, then things bend a little bit. And we see that a lot.
I was going to say, don't we always see that? Even when they were helping Charlie unpack, like when she has things that personally affect her, she either runs or she runs from it, or she runs toward it.
Yeah.
Like, you can see that she has the conflict of, I don't know what to do unless it affects me. So we see her kind of eject herself from some situations. Mm-hmm. Like, when she always ejects herself when it has anything to do with Charlie's mom. Mm-hmm. So when they brought up the little Egyptian head and Charlie was like, you know, this is good luck, Nova kind of like politely excused herself.
Yeah.
But if it was any other thing, she would have been on the forefront. You know what I mean?
Right. Or like, I love that. It's African. It's totally her style.
And
her
she
vibe.
Was like, no. So anytime something kind of pulls her heartstrings or pulls the rug from under her, not heartstrings, maybe pulls the rug from under her where she feels like she doesn't have stability, she becomes a little different. Like, she gets a little bit more mellowed out.
Yeah.
And I just be like, no, girl, I want to see the fight. Like, I want you to still be that same rrr.
Right, yeah.
That was terrible. That was so terrible. But yeah, I kind of still want her to have that fight in her. And what I love, though, about her this episode is that She really is the supporter. Mm-hmm. Like, for her siblings especially. Like, the way that she loved on Ralph Angel about him and his girlfriend, and just basically saying, you know, she's good for you. Like, you kind of need that. Like, even though you're not living for the approval of anyone, you want to know that you're doing good. You want to know that the people in your life are making progress. You want to see them go forward. And you want your family to be proud for you, too.
Right.
So I was really happy to see that, but I don't know how I'm going to feel next episode when they find out she lost her job.
Well, I don't think it's the end of the world. I think these last few episodes have been so dramatic that it's like, oh, it's like you always think it's going to be such a dramatic scene, like the whole thing with the preview with Ralph Angel, and we're like, oh my gosh, she's going back to jail now, oh Lord, and we had all these scenarios, and it was probably because of this and all this and this, and then it was like, oh, he got off. It was only because of the gun. And then it's like, boom, 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 Darla's lost her job. What are we going to do next? Stay tuned till next week.
But it's different, though. Darla can't afford to lose her job.
Well, the scary part of Darla losing her job, if I thought about it, would be she may result back to doing drugs because this is part of her rehabilitation. But I think that Ralph Angel may say, you know, just like Aunt Vi, you know what? I'm supporting this family. Help me on the farm. Maybe he's going to put that in place. Who knows? But I don't think it's the end of the day for her losing her job unless she's going to turn back to drugs.
No, I don't think she's going to turn back to drugs. She's come too far. I think, though, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Doesn't Darla's job affect her relationship with seeing Blue?
I think it was with Ralph Angel, remember? Before he was saying, like, remember it was something like, it was a problem, and she was like, I have to go to work. And he wanted her to watch Blue or something like that.
No, I think that she's in a recovery program, and because she lost custody of her child. Right. And Vi had the custody. And I think now Ralph Angel has custody because she signed the papers.
Right.
But I think that there is some kind of disclaimer in there about Darla being employed. And I could be wrong. I probably am making up my own storyline, which I tend to do. But that broke my heart because you see her trying to balance being this girlfriend and being this mom and being this employee. And she didn't know what to do. And I was like, girl, when her supervisor was like, is it your son? I would have just said, yeah.
Yeah, but like we said, we talked a little bit. I think she's on the straight and narrow. I think she really is on a path of being righteous and wanting to be honest and showing herself that she's making some improvement.
So, English, help me understand. If she's on a straight and narrow, why would you leave without letting him know after he said no?
Well, at that point, she was like, I'm about to just forget it.
Like, I think you get what I'm saying?
I think, honestly, she really wanted to approach it in the right way. But once he gave her no option, she let him know what her options were.
Right. But so I don't know. That just doesn't, like, if you're gonna leave and you're that desperate to go, and I mean, I would have either just told Ralph Angel, hey, you know that I'm here for you, you know that I'm working for you, I'll be there as soon as I get off of work. Because when she got there, I thought that she had got off of work at that point.
Well, she said thanks for asking, which was a problem that they've had in their relationship without... He doesn't ever ask her for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to be able to help in some kind of way. So this was her kind of contribution to their relationship.
Let me ask y'all a question. If you guys were Darla, would you have lied to your supervisor to go see... I can't even take Bree serious right now. She says, I'm going to need someone to need me the way Ralph Angel needed her.
Right.
Don't we all want to be needed, girl? We do.
Especially by Ralph Angel.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm not. Not today. I'm going to stay focused. If you were Darla... I keep thinking of Little Rascals. If you were Darla, would you have, like, lied on Blue and said that you need to go just to mend whatever you're trying to fix with Ralph Angel? Because you left the job anyway, and now you lost your job. You probably would have got a warrant.
But sometimes when you're being honest, you lose. Sometimes when you're being honest. And at least she lost this by being honest and really just being fair. She didn't lose this situation by drugs. She didn't lose this situation by being a neglectful parent. She lost it by being honest. She went to go see her man. He called her. I'm sorry, I gotta go. Hey. And she lost her job. She can get a new job.
I don't know. I just feel like she should have left when he said no the first time instead of sneaking off. Because now you're making me mad. And we see how much Blue adores her.
I know.
And I just don't want anything to happen with that situation.
Yeah.
And even coming to that point, I guess we can... I just realized we didn't watch any of the previews.
We didn't.
I know. This is going to be good. Let's get into some predictions. Oh, we are so bad at
I just did the theme song for it.
Okay, well, what do you think is going to happen next episode?
So my prediction would be that Darla, unfortunately, is going to turn back to her old ways. I think that's how they're going to keep the show alive. It can't all be fairy tales and rainbows and unicorns and butterflies. I'm sorry. I think Darla is going to go back to her old ways and do some drugs.
Why you gotta write her off like that?
I'm not writing her off, but it's part of life. It's the facts of life. I didn't want Ralph Angel to possibly get arrested.
Right, right. I mean, I don't want Ralph Angel to get arrested, but... Oh, what's going to happen next episode? I literally have no idea. I mean, I feel like it can go so many ways right now. Mm-hmm. But I do think that because all is kind of well with the siblings, it's going to be a head-to-head battle with the Boudoirs and the Borderlones. Mm-hmm. Because we see them, you know, Charlie has her speculation that they snitched on Ralph Angel about the shotgun. And I just feel like something's gonna happen. Nova's getting in a place where she's really pissed about not being able to express herself through her writing. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like they are going to get to a place where it's just going to be a full-on battle.
So you think they're boiling right now?
I think that the pot is brewing up, mm-hmm. and it's going to come into this boil. Mm-hmm. But I also want to piggyback off of someone else's prediction from last week. Now that Charlie and Micah are living a little closer, it's going to have to force Davis to come from his side of the city to kind of make that relationship with Micah work if he's still open to that.
Right.
And because of that, I do feel like he's going to find out about Remy. Like, they're going to have some kind of encounter and it's going to be
awkward. He has to find out about Remy, but we also can't forget that Micah is still going to school in the prominent community, so they're gonna still be traveling between the mill and then the where the school is at in the nice community. So I don't know, maybe she'll try to find a drop-off meetup Burger King parking lot situation.
I don't know. Oh, someone on Twitter said, well, CMH, that's an interesting name.
Oh, yes, you're right.
That is a good
that,
one.
No, I did see that in the preview.
Oh, did you? How?
Where did I see that?
So CMH by way of NC.
I saw a preview. They showed a long extended preview or something.
I must have missed it. Said someone on Twitter said Charlie hires Dollar for the mill. I think that's going to be great because
she does hire her for the mill.
Oh my God, that just changed my prediction. And let me tell you why. If Charlie hires Darla, then it puts Ralph Angel in a very interesting situation about exposing the letter, because if you decide that you want to take like the farm and you cut out, like, you kind of cut out your sister's produce for the mill, mm-hmm. then you kind of leaving your baby mama without a job, and you don't want that to happen to Blue, do you? I don't think so. So I mean, I think that was actually pretty awesome. Come on with the come through for the prediction. I think that's gonna work out real fine.
I think that would work out good.
But Miss Chris Brown says she thinks that Darla will find a job further away from Blue and Ralph. No, why do y'all think she's going to go out of control? What's wrong with you?
I mean, it's kind of like it showed that. That's her character. Mm. She's the character that's always having to progress. And unfortunately, both her and Ralph Angel, they're both on the same path. They're just on different levels in the path.
Do you think that they're kind of like the same person?
Yeah. They both have addictive behaviors. I think he was addictive to that fast life and money and hustling and stealing. She was addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
So I think that now they're on a road to recovery, mm-hmm. but it's easy to stumble, especially when you're presented in a situation where you're scared.
My anxiety just got a little bad because I just keep thinking about Blue.
I know.
And I mean, I know that's the show. We want the show to have this roller coaster and to be like this.
You have to think both of them just got accountable of Blue just recently.
Right.
So neither of them have shown themselves like that long that they've really progressed in a big way. Like,
girl, I'm nervous.
I'm nervous too. But that's why we love this show, and that's why you guys love it too, and you guys love watching it after and watching us.
Well, next week we're going to have a full house, I suppose, which means we'll get into a little bit more, because I'm pretty sure that Francelli and Ryan are somewhere like, I don't agree with that.
Right.
Which is why I love our panel so much. So thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you tune back in next week for episode 5.
Yes.
I can't believe it's coming to an end.
Oh, they said it's on the extended trailer. I did see the extended trailer. Go watch it. It does show that chart. A part where Darla says to Ralph Angel, I work, Charlie's hiring me at the mill now.
Ooh, he's gonna be mad. I'm gonna have to watch it. As always, I'm Elena. You can follow me on all social platforms at @hey_itslay.
And as always, you guys can find me on Instagram at Pink English, as well as on Twitter, English Speaks.
Adios, mi amor.
See you next week.
Sayonara.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.